the hold on you, believe it. Dun-dun-dun-dun. She's like no other. I don't know, I got nothing. Get you this fucking nothing? Thing going.
Yeah, we should start the podcast.
Probably should.
Fuck her right in the pussy. Side
what you story. What's your favorite scary movies?
Welcome to the Darker Side Podcast.
Scary movies!
Wrong answer.
Welcome to the Darker Side Podcast, where we delve into the darker side of our existences. The morbid, the macabre, the spooky, and the absurd are all fair game as we discuss murder, UFOs, cryptids, creepypasta, the paranormal, and the dark depravity of the human soul. I am David, and with me as always is Forrest, Rachel, and Herman. How the fuck are we today, people?
Doing what really up?
Awesome. Doing great?
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah, we're doing
today. We have a special guest appearance. He's a gentleman I've known a long time. He's a cool dude.
Hi, David.
Hi, John.
You
that's John Williams.
Me, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
John Williams.
I didn't want to like go. Oh, cool. Like yeah, and I was like, no, I wasn't talking about you.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh. That's John, everybody.
I guess I'll shut up then.
Hi, welcome
John.
To the darker side, brother.
Welcome.
Yo. Welcome to the dark side.
You know, it's very well lit in here.
Yeah, it's
being in the dark side. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's
that's
the irony
funny,
of the
that's
whole
it,
podcast, John.
Yes.
That it's recorded in a very well lit place.
I get irony.
It's our what do we call it?
It's not Alanis Morissette irony either. It's real
no.
irony.
It's our studio.
Darker
Hell
Side
yeah.
Studio.
Her older shit was better too.
I'd also like
inside joke.
Yeah, those are the best. Everybody gets those.
All right, guys. I'd also like to say Happy Pride Month.
I would love to say Happy Pride Month, everybody.
Woo. All
thank
right,
you.
Let's
thank
get our pride on for a whole month. Let's
but
give.
That's it. Yeah. Is there not a day longer?
Oh yeah.
Is there a song for that?
We'll
or
blow
is
it
just
up
written
as much
by
as
Freddie
can,
Mercury.
I think it's just written by Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury. Yeah.
I love Freddie Mercury.
All right, guys. Well, we're gonna get into a little micro creepypasta that I found. It's a good one.
Okay.
Or at least I thought so.
We gotta record one too. We got one.
Super quick. Super
is it,
quick.
Is it like a micro penis for horror?
Yes.
A micro
okay.
penis.
Right. Exactly. This one is called Intuitive Advertising.
This is where I go, too. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Good job. Good job.
Good job.
You're hired.
It says intuitive ads. You see them everywhere now and don't really give it a second thought. Ads that use tracking cookies to track your browsing history or personal profile.
Gotta love those cookies.
And provide suggestions that might appeal to you. You know, the way Amazon suggests new books based on what you just read, or when you search for something on Google and then start seeing ads for it on other websites.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you're a 20-something-year-old girl in a relationship on Facebook and suddenly all of your ads are for engagement rings and wedding planners. The point is, we're all so used to this and we don't really pay attention to
yep.
it anymore. But lately, these targeted ads have been unnervingly on point. Buy plastic sheets in bulk. Electric chainsaws on sale now. Affordable dry lime, overnight shipping available. I don't know how they're doing it, and I don't know what technology is driving these changes, but somehow it's like the internet is reading my mind, showing me ads for things that couldn't possibly know I wanted.
Yep.
I swear to God, I didn't touch a keyboard. I didn't do a search. I was so careful to keep all of my plans and research and ideas offline. How is it doing this? How does it know about the bodies?
Oh.
No.
You know what's funny? Actually, it's really weird to talk about, but like I've
I love your real doll
the,
too. I really do.
The thing is that like after you have sex with someone, it's like I'm starting to see like those like, you know, body shaving ads on Facebook. And then you see like what friends are liking it, and it's like, I don't wanna know who shaves their crotches and whatever and who doesn't. Like, I don't want to fucking know that shit.
So you were thinking about shaved crotches and then all of a sudden you're seeing ads for shaved crotches?
More like I just had sex and then I start seeing those things on Facebook.
I just had sex and it feels so good. I just had sex.
John Herman, ladies and gentlemen.
That is Herman, everybody.
John
Hashtag
Herman.
Herman.
Thank you, lonely.
Yeah.
Lonely
at Herman Brow. You know, if you got any complaints, send them directly to @HermanBrow anywhere.
Hell yeah.
Instagram, send visual complaints of your tiny dick.
Hell yeah.
Again, a guy named Richard, a very small man named Richard.
Tiny unsolicited dick pics.
Unsolicited
dick. Well, the thing I really wanted to mention, too, was that there was a movie that came out like 8 or 9 years ago. It was like a documentary film about, it was called Agree to Terms or Terms May Apply or something. It's on Netflix.
No, that was Sperms of Endearment. They sold it down at Gallo Video.
And that's why nowadays, for certain companies, I'll read their whole privacy policy that they send you every whatever.
That's a long time to sit there and 200 read.
200 pages, whatever the fuck. I'll skim it.
I'm all set.
You can steal whatever you want from me. I'm not reading privacy policy. That's your policy, not mine.
America.
America.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to get into the Darker Side news stories. Today, we have... two of us will be reading news stories. First person will be Forrest, and followed will be Herman with their news stories. What do you got for us today, Forrest?
Okay, so I want to give everyone a warning. It's really dark. Really.
Take warning.
This is the Darker Side podcast.
Thank
so,
you,
I
John.
Mean, if they're expecting something light and wholehearted,
it's,
then...
It's very dark, and it's just fucked up. So let's go into it. This is by deadstate.org. By someone named Sky Palma, came out in September 19th of 2017. I saw this like a while back, and I just thought, you know what? It came back up on my feed recently, and I gotta fucking do
it. Yeah, do it.
Mm-hmm. Christian College punished football players who raped and beat a student with an 8-page essay.
That took a lot.
Wait,
for them
did they?
To punish
they
them.
Raped and beat a student with an essay?
They rolled up the essay.
Yeah, like they rolled it up. And
I really thought this wasn't a real story, and then they actually had some videos of people being interviewed who witnessed it, and it's like really sad and awful. And okay, going into it, five football players from an Illinois evangelical
fucking Illinois Christian
college are facing felony charges after a 2016 hazing incident left one of their teammates restrained with duct tape. Beaten and half naked with two torn shoulders. Let's see here. I'm not going to go on their names right now. Although Wheaton police refused to release details of the incident.
Oh, yeah, it's Wheaton College. The Christianest college you can go to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually, the number one Christian college in America.
Really? Yep. Over Notre Dame and
Holy
Cross?
No.
And it actually...
Christian, evangelical Christian college, John.
We need a satanic college.
Notre Dame
satanic
is a Catholic
satanic college, hell yeah, right? I really wanted to hold off with bringing this up with this podcast, but there were some videos that recently leaked that were filmed years ago. Why are they just leaking now? Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Supposedly someone said this has had a devastating effect on my life. This is the victim. Told the Tribune, what was done to me should never occur in connection with a football program or any other activity. I am confident that the criminal prosecution will provide a fair and just punishment to the men who attacked me.
Yeah, I mean, in anything you do in life, you shouldn't ever have to expect to be beaten, tied down, and then raped with a rolled-up essay.
Well, the point where they...
I'm going to go there, though. Yeah. That's what I do. Was this person captured or drugged, and they woke up in this position when
he was tied up, or
did they allow it to happen?
He was bagged, tied, and then put in the back of a completely saying
so
no the entire time.
So he was going through life, and
I really
like,
don't know.
Somebody grabbed him.
He was a football player.
There's a lot of these situations
they're happening
where these people put themselves in.
Well, he
situation.
Was.
Well, you really can't blame the victim though.
He was wearing a tight essay.
You can't always blame the victim. No, but that's where I'm saying.
So, I mean, this is coming from someone who went into a football team and quit because of bullying.
Right.
Right.
But
so he went into a football program and
I just like
these
the
guys
details.
Went over that's over I mean, yeah. overboard with their hazing. I mean, it's overboard.
It's happening in a lot
these
of colleges.
These guys went over the line.
But are you allowing yourself to be hazed?
No.
Is what I'm saying.
I mean, to a point, you can allow yourself to be hazed, but then...
Right. But
then
no,
so,
he was
somebody,
adamant
somebody,
from
jamming
the go
the fucking,
that he's no. Absolutely.
Okay.
No from the beginning.
That's
and
why, that's
it continued,
why I asked.
And,
like,
and they pushed it all the way over the edge.
Grabbed off the street and bagged. Yes, that's horrible. That is absolutely...
A lot of these incidents, though, that happen, it's not really the person's fault that gets victimized.
Of course.
No, but I'm sure in some cases it is the person's fault who gets victimized that allows themselves to be put
I mean, that's just like saying a straight man gets raped and it's his fault.
Well,
so,
to agree to
well,
your
no,
point.
It's well, nothing really like saying that. But,
well, I mean, straight men do get raped a lot.
No,
so.
Absolutely they do.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens a
no,
lot.
No, I mean,
actually.
I know.
I have a
happens.
Thing with college girls claiming the rape card.
Yeah,
that card.
Yeah. That's and it's
If you're going to a frat party and you're allowing yourself...
In that case.
That's all I'm saying. It's the same thing. Did you put yourself in that position... Or did this...
And in this case, it was not.
It was not in this case.
Did you use your best judgment?
You're right. This is happening between guys and women
lying
about these things, and you're right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, at colleges, especially...
this is not especially, a witch hunt. This
especially with private colleges, a lot of these hazing incidents are getting really out of hand, depending on what kind of... You know, there's frat houses that are doing all this crazy shit. You know, Fitchburg State even almost had an issue with some frat houses with this kind of incident that could have blown up to something worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening all over the place, man, and it literally is, and it's not...
It is.
Again, you can put yourself in a situation where this might happen if, like, you're joining a frat house, a football program, et cetera, hazing. But when you say no from the beginning of that...
You're right.
It's a no situation.
No means no.
And if they want to razz you and call you, you know, a fag or a queer or whatever, and you're accepting it, that's fine. But if anybody puts you in a position where you're uncomfortable sexually, et cetera, it's not. And he was physically harmed.
Right. He was harmed.
I mean, this is coming from someone...
Yeah, nobody wants separated shoulders. You know?
Exactly.
Or an essay literally shoved up your jam hole.
Did they actually jam an essay up?
I'm sure they physically shoved it
up his asshole.
Oh, I was kidding. I thought it was just bad grammar.
No.
I mean, I'm sure one of them might have stuck their dick up his ass. They just didn't want to include it in the article.
That's your opinion, Forrest.
That is my opinion. Okay. But there's a lot of incidents that happen nowadays with our politicians that they're not really publicized if they're meddling with men.
Of course. It happens through all of these.
Like James C. Buchanan, our first gay president.
And then, you know, this is also, keep in mind, this is also coming from someone who...
He lived with the governor of Alabama. And
who?
James Buchanan.
Oh, yeah.
All right, what were you saying for us? More.
Sorry.
You know, this is coming from someone who joined the football team when I first moved here, my sophomore year of high school. And I ended up leaving because there was just a huge bullying problem with a lot of people there.
A massive problem with bullying. Well, that type of discrimination.
Some of them also had a problem with seeing a gay person kill people at football. So
I thought you were just like out on the field with a gun. Yeah.
No, was that movie with
Bruce Willis?
That's not how you play.
Forrest is a big boy, and I mean, you can imagine how hard he could hit. I mean, just because he's gay doesn't mean he can't play a fucking.
And my school said it was my fault, so I quit the team. Yeah. So.
Well, Forrest, thank you for bringing all of that to our attention.
Well, I mean, going forward...
What else is left in this news story?
The five suspects, five of them, so keep in mind he was outnumbered by five people, are now facing legal justice. Some are wondering why the school took so long to act, which is also another problem in this country.
Probably some douchebags that have a podcast don't talk about the school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you, Wheaton College.
Fuck Wheaton College, man. Writing for the friendly atheist, Hemant Mehta pointed out that the school sat on the allegations for over a year and only meted out a punishment that involved 50 hours of community service and an 8-page essay explaining their actions.
But did you see those cigarette ashtrays? I mean, those things were overflowing and they needed help to do those. Now it took 50 hours to, and they had to put down some nice loam around the plants, and I believe, don't quote me on this, but I do believe that there was a McDonald's wrapper in the middle of the quad, and you cannot have that at Wheaton College.
McDonald's.
So you need 50 hours of community service just to clean that shit up. Just to clean it up. They got to cut the pack of Sandra. They got to trim the bushes, make it look really nice, because the Jewish camp's going to come in the summertime.
Maybe. I don't know.
They do.
Oh, good lord. No.
Anything else in the story? Or is that basically the gist of it? I'll
leave it to everyone else's imagination.
No, but I mean, 50 hours of, you know, I mean, for basically taking somebody, binding them, and then, you know, BTKing them all the way up to the K.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it was a 1-on-5 type of deal, so it's, you know.
It was crazy, and 50 hours of community service
is
not justice.
Yeah, fuck those guys for doing that.
It's not justice.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's the kind of stuff you see on gay porn sites.
It is. I still want to read the essay, though.
Herman, you've got a
I'm sorry, guys. It's a fucked up story, and I have such opinions on stuff like this.
Oh, yeah, of course. Herman, what do you got for a new story for us today, buddy?
I don't know how you follow that up with this, but I'm gonna do it anyway because here we are. So, I being a heterosexual 40-year-old white man, had no idea that the and apologies. The, can I call it the gay triangle, or am I stepping on somebody?
I don't know too much about that.
The
history,
pink triangle.
The pink triangle.
Yeah, but what do the people in the community call it? That's what he's asking you.
Isn't it just the pink triangle?
Yeah,
the pink triangle. Thank you so much.
Okay, first of all, is it a pink triangle?
It's totally a pink triangle.
Then just call it the pink triangle. Then.
Okay.
I mean, you can call it what it is.
I mean,
if it is that, you can call it that.
Can I call it the straight football game? Can I call it that?
I mean, from my parents' knowledge of knowing older gay people from their families, from my ancestors and stuff, they said pink triangle because I come from a Jewish family, so. That's what they said, pink triangle.
We used to call it the brown circle back then. Oh,
even though it was a pink triangle.
It's a bad joke, but yeah.
Sad thing is, I did not even mean it that way. Yeah, it was...
I understand. I think most people don't.
Yeah.
So, we're celebrating LGBTQ Pride Month.
Yeah, hell yeah.
This month, yep.
Rainbows, unicorns, butterflies.
Abbreviations for
all. And equality. Don't forget about
equality. Yes.
Yeah.
Sunshine, lollipops, equality everywhere. That's what.
equal rights and protection, since it is technically a civil problem in this country.
Yes.
So.
We're just going to watch Dog Day Afternoon like 100 fucking times.
Oh my God. And then we might follow it up with Cold Mountain. No, not I fucked that up. That's the wrong one.
Why don't we just watch that. What's it?
I can't quit you.
Brokeback Mountain or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Brokeback. Yeah.
That's what it was.
I kind of did the I Can't Quit You, Renee Zellweger. Which
that movie
I totally
made,
can.
That movie made me cry. I hated the ending.
And it's a month where we celebrate and we choose to honor the history of activism that was epitomized by the Stonewall Riots in 1969. I did a little bit of research.
Hell yeah, nice.
So celebrants around the world will be participating in parades and other tributes, and symbols such as the rainbow flag and the pink triangle.
Mm-hmm. Bear flag, too.
Will abound. Oh, the fucking bear flag's
bear
nasty.
Bear flag. You see them all over P-Town.
If I ever switch teams, I'm totally a bear. I'm not shaving any of this shit for any of you bitches.
Well, again, it's like the pink triangle. If you're a big, hairy dude who's gay,
you're big
you
hate.
It's okay. Yeah. I identify as a bear as well.
I'm a straight bear.
Like, straight bear, I like that.
Yeah. I like motorcycles and tits. I'm totally
hell
a bear.
Yeah. Start celebrating straight.
You're not getting your own bathroom, so
I'm not, I don't want my own bathroom. I want all the.
Well,
bathrooms.
That's a whole separate.
I want all the bathrooms.
I want all the bathrooms. Anyway, so the brightly colored pink triangle is now often worn proudly, but it was born from a dark period in LGBTQ history and world history itself. Evidently, just as Nazis forced the Jewish people to wear a yellow star, I'm sorry, they forced Jewish people to wear a yellow star, that's mm-hmm. the one.
Sounds right.
They also forced people that were labeled as gay to wear an inverted pink triangle, or Die Rosa Winkel.
Yep.
Those thus branded were treated as the lowest of the low in camp hierarchy.
What, the pink stars?
Yeah, and that's the pink triangle. And that's
the pink triangles, yeah.
That is actually from a
yellow
concentration
stars,
camp survivor.
Sounds like a Lucky Charms box with all the
it
symbols.
It is actually the unlucky charm.
It is the unlucky charm.
Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. You're not allowed.
I'm like tipsy a little bit, I think.
It's that hard cider.
So Hitler saw gay men as a threat to his campaign to purify Germany, especially because their partnerships could not bear children.
Yeah, of course.
Beautiful, sweet, Aryan children with
most
doughy blue eyes.
Sounds like views nowadays.
Hey. During that period, gay-friendly bars and clubs started being shut down. Authorities burned the books at a major research institution devoted to the study of sexuality, and gay fraternal organizations were shuttered.
Wow.
To be fair, when Hitler came into office... Germany was pretty fucking groovy.
Yeah, probably.
Most countries are until like a despot comes in and takes it over.
That's how we got into power, because Germany was very ungroovy.
I heard Germany had really good clubs, like dancing clubs.
Yeah, they did. They had they made a movie about that.
Or was it Russia?
Back in like the 90s.
Oh, they did.
Think, right?
I think I saw that.
Like, oh, that
Swing Kids?
The Swing Kids.
Like,
that was
yeah.
a great
yeah.
fucking
yeah.
movie.
I
yeah.
saw, I saw movie. That movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
That was
good.
And then, you know, they like fight the power.
There was the token gay. I believe was Ethan Hawke the token gay kid.
Tell
I feel
you
like
anything
I think
more
Ethan
than the name of that.
Ethan Hawke was,
sense, so.
I believe.
I yeah. feel like Ethan Hawke was the token gay kid, and if he wasn't, please
love,
comment on Facebook or whatever the shits that we
I'm
put
sorry,
our stuff
I love Ethan Hawke. He's such a great actor.
He's fantastic.
He's a good one.
Ugh.
Oh, he's dreamy with his dreamboat eyes.
Did you see him in Sinister?
God,
no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Well,
Forrest just lost his ability to breathe. So, in 1972, it's a 1972 memoir, The Men with the Pink Triangle.
Hmm.
It described SS guards torturing prisoners by dipping their testicles in hot water and sodomizing them with broomsticks.
Wow. Okay.
It's like normal MO.
Yeah,
torture.
We're about to get into Nazis, so this is actually the lighter side of the whole thing. So data on these victims started to be cited in 1977, and the first reference to the Pink Triangles in Time magazine in a story about gay rights activists in Miami who attached the symbols to their clothes as a show of solidarity when protesting a vote to repeal a law protecting gay people from housing discrimination.
Hmm.
So that is when it really came to America, was in the 1970s in Miami.
Wow.
When the magazine noted that the symbol was reminiscent of the Nazi-era yellow stars, a reader wrote in a note that they were, in fact, analogous, not reminiscent, as both the star and the triangle were real artifacts of the time.
Mm.
Gay people, quote, gay people wear pink triangles today as a reminder of the past and a pledge that history will not repeat itself.
Well, it's the beauty of such an oppressive symbol is that when you can take power back with that symbol, it is a powerful thing, and you can create a movement of people based on that one symbol, which is, I mean, you look at symbology throughout history, that's what happens.
I had one on my last car, but someone took it off.
It's like when white people took back Cracker.
did we give it away? I'm not sure. I don't know. They never had to take that one back.
Crackers are awesome.
I have eaten many a cracker in my life.
Ritz, motherfucker.
Yeah. Ritz are awesome, man.
Sweet butter crackers.
Townhouse Club all the way.
Yeah. Put some peanut butter and fluff on
some
that shit.
Some Triscuits.
Hell yeah.
I'm done. All right.
Veggie dip on that shit.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
So I mean that's actually the origin of the pink triangle, which I had no idea. I had no idea that it came that far, and I think it's a beautiful symbol.
Yeah,
it
me
is
too.
A nice one.
Absolutely, it's simple and has a huge story in history.
Huh. A friend of mine gave one to me, and that's how I got out my car. If you guys are wondering.
Sweet. Well, either way, I mean, I would have thought that maybe you purchased it yourself and put it on your car because you were, you know.
I mean, I was in Whitensville, and someone took it off.
I thought he was really into the Pythagorean theorem, you know, 3, 6, 9.
Fuck it, John.
Solve for X, bitch.
Oh, good Lord. All right, guys. That was the news stories for today. We are going to move into the Darker Side movie review.
Fuck yeah.
This week, we are going to review...
Fuck yeah.
A 1971 movie called Punishment Park. It is a Peter Watkins joint.
Hello, Peter Watkins.
I've only seen this one from him, so I'm pretty sure you know the rest of his are good.
America doesn't like him.
It is, again, 1971, an hour and 31-minute movie. It has a 7.9 rating on IMDb, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
100? Are you serious?
Keeping it fresh.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, wicked
fresh.
Holy
fuck, I never saw that.
Fresh.
In this fictional documentary, U.S. prisons are at capacity, and President Nixon declares a state of emergency. All new prisoners, most of whom are connected to the anti-war movement, are now given the choice of jail time or spending 3 days in Punishment Park.
Yep.
Where they will be hunted.
Sounds like the worst theme park in the world. Like,
it really sucks. It's too sunny.
You gotta see it, dude. It's
where they will be hunted for sport by federal authorities. The prisoners invariably choose the latter option, but later learn that between the desert heat and the brutal police officers. Hey.
Hello.
I thought
I'm not as thick as you drunk I am.
You can't.
Hey Dave.
You know who I am.
I'm pretty sure in the movie those officers identify as the U.S. National Guard.
Well, some of them is the National Guard. There's Army and then
National
there's the...
Guard.
Well, they
the
stated
again.
To that... It was a training exercise.
Right, for the National
for
Guard.
For the National Guard. For training. Yep.
So it says,
hilarious.
Between the desert heat and the brutal police officers, their chances of survival are
Yep.
So it starts out where this group of people are being tried for their crimes, and the majority of them are
Congress, right,
dissenters,
in front of
and then there's this law that they're using. What was it, the...
Oh, the...
Mix.
Meh. the McCarthy. Not McCarthy.
McFadden.
Keep in mind, guys.
McCarran. The International Security Act.
Yep.
So they're using this act to basically arrest any type of dissenter who had a total opposite view of the United States, and they were arresting them for no reason other than being protesters and stuff like
or
that.
Or rock stars. Or rock stars,
etc. Like, right away in the beginning of this, this black gentleman, they're talking about, like, constitutional rights, and he's like, how the fuck are you going to override the Constitution, man? And, like, dude, right away, like, you get how that's going to move
He has
forward.
The most powerful words of, like, the whole movie.
Yeah, he definitely does.
That black Afro guy, he's awesome.
And, like, within 5 minutes of this, I'm like, oh, this is, like, it's America that hasn't stopped. It's been progressing since that time.
Keep in mind, this movie was in pre-production from, like, 1963 to, like, 69.
Yeah, well, he finally, I think closer to 70, he got, like, the final idea of what he wanted to do with it.
It was extremely protested to be shot in Southern California, so a lot of people were actually against this film being made, and it tended to be a really good fucking film.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's a real eye opener that, you know, the America that we could have potentially if we allow more of our freedoms to be taken away.
Exactly.
We are, you know, as citizens of this nation.
The movie was way ahead of its time.
Of course, absolutely. And this movie was full of isms.
Yeah.
Like fascisms, white elitism, you know, totalitarianism.
Words that were used in that time.
I mean, all the isms that, like, Bob Marley spoke against and, you know, the free thinkers of the time. I really enjoyed the movie. I would give it high marks. I mean, it is 70s, so, I mean, it's a time period, but in my opinion, it's also timeless.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to move it to Rachel. Rachel, what did you call this, basically?
The Hunger Games.
It was the 1970s Hunger Games.
It didn't come to America until, like, 1972, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like you said, I think you were the one who said it opened up in Canada before it was allowed to be opened up in America.
It came out in 69. It was banned in America for about 3 years, 4 years.
So this is, I really think you pegged it. It was, like, 50 years ago's Hunger Games.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see it.
The original.
Yeah.
I enjoyed one scene in particular, one of the she was the female singer.
Yeah. Was that when those two chicks went down on each other? That shit was so hot.
That was a different movie, Herman.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
I love that lady.
That was Punishment Apartment.
Oh, my fucking God.
Oh,
I just can't even, guys.
So what are you talking about, Rachel?
Oh, she was talking to...
I love her. I know you're talking about the rock star.
Yeah, so all these people are being interviewed by a board of
They were trying to avoid
members.
The draft, right? They were all trying to avoid the draft.
Not all of them.
They're being accused
of
it.
No, like each person was there for whatever reason.
Yeah, stupid
reason. But yeah.
Are they avoiding the draft?
Some of them.
Like Bill Clinton.
Like Donald Trump.
I would say Donald Trump too, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Al Gore, I mean, the list is very long.
It goes on.
So anyways, she is talking to one of the female board members. And she's getting a little riled up. They all are.
Oh, my God. It gets crazy.
But
it gets fucking crazy.
The woman turns to the interrogee. I don't know. Being interrogated, this chick. And says, you know, you come from a good family. Like, you were raised to be proud of America. Why are you turning your back against it?
Yep.
And she replies with, well, my parents taught me how to think.
Yep.
And how to use my mind.
Fuck yeah.
And instill these great morals.
Yep.
I enjoyed that part.
And I believe there was also a guy there who was being accused of avoiding the draft.
I thought that was
hilarious.
One of the biggest issues back then.
Even though the complaint of the whole...
Crazy dad, draft dodgers.
The complaint of the whole thing of him breaking the law was that his music was too loud or some shit like that. His rock music was too loud. I don't fucking know. It was something so stupid.
So I take it that you like this film, Forrest.
I'm going to wait for my turn.
It is your turn. That's what I'm asking you.
Rachel,
that was called
done?
A segue.
Are you sure you're done?
Yeah.
Are you 100% sure?
Use that
here. Forrest, just go.
Okay.
Are we done?
Yeah, that was what we call a radio segue.
So I watched this film in a documentary film course in college, in film school. And keep in mind, film school is not as easy as people might think. And
no, I went to basket weaving school. I hear you, man.
It's definitely time consuming. I didn't get a lot of sleep.
I made a movie about basket weaving once.
Holy shit.
It was good.
It was amazingly good.
Pottery
when those two chicks went down
shit.
On each other? Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Are we it's talking like... about the pink triangle again?
Yeah, we might be.
What the fuck is going on, guys? You guys are crazy.
Sorry, Forrest, go ahead, dude.
That's awesome, though.
you put John Herman and John Williams in the same room. It's Waldorf and Stadler.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't fucking imagine.
It's true. That movie wasn't half bad. It was all bad. Oh!
I mean, the thing is, though, is, okay, so I took this in class. I learned the history of it. We had to do so much research on this movie for a big project. And so I read all about it. And this guy, Peter Watkins, we didn't have enough time to watch all of his other films in the class because his class was a new hybrid class. So it ended up being, like, a lot more bigger than he thought it would be.
Totally. Did you watch Lord of the Rings? Because that's Peter Watkins' best fucking film.
We did not watch that.
Peter Jackson.
Oh, my bad.
The Lovely Bones of Peter Jackson and District 9. Yeah.
Oh, shit, I fucked up.
I know who you're talking about. But no, he makes...
Peter Jackson didn't do District 9. That was...
He produced it.
Yes, he did produce it.
He produced it, sorry.
The Frighteners.
It was a guy incognito, I believe.
No, Blomkamp.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He also produced Chappie, which was an awesome movie.
All right, let's move forward.
I disagree with you. But moving forward, I love this movie. It was extremely powerful. I did a lot of research on it. There's things the professor knew because of his colleagues that isn't online, and he showed me his sources. So it's just amazing, this whole history of this movie. That's why I love documentary films. Well, technically pseudo-documentaries.
This is a fictional documentary.
Mockumentary, so, I mean, what you would call it. But back then, they called it pseudo-documentary back then. But I love that this guy was from Germany and he parted with people from, was it Russia? Or some other country. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. And they pretty much want to make a movie about a political statement about America, and they shot it in Southern California. So I loved that, reading the history of this. I thought it was great. The movie really angered me the first half hour because I was just like, what the fuck is this shit? You know, like, why would
I think that's a sentiment that they wanted to portray and invoke on people, absolutely.
The narrator's voice is just so annoying.
Put me to sleep.
Oh, I fucking love the old school British, like, narrator, like, documentary narrator. That's, like, my favorite type of documentary.
It's like watching a BBC movie.
It was like David Attenborough, yeah, like, narrating
some of the best documentaries ever made are made by Brits.
Like, it's crazy. Oh, sorry, Britain. They parted with the UK and Germany, sorry.
Germany.
And that's the production of this film. And I just thought it was amazing. I love that people protested it in California. And to this day, people shit on California for it being a liberal state when it really isn't.
No, it's a super conservative
state.
What?
And it's not. I mean, it's not.
They elected
liberal.
Arnold.
It's not a liberal state, but it's just Hollywood, really. And, you know, I love the film. I rewatched it about 5 or 6 times already, and now that I have, I appreciate it a lot. Now that I know it has 100% Rotten Tomatoes on it, I'd give it a 10 out of 10 because it's one of my favorite films. It's so well done. Everything about it is so conservative. The editing, the shooting, everything.
The sound is what got Rachel to not... She couldn't finish it.
It's everywhere. There's so much going on.
It is such a multi-layered sound, and it's complex.
I don't know how they edited this in film. Do you know how they would edit this in film? I don't know.
Just crazy. I don't know.
And it's just, I thought it was funny, too, that this was supposed to be like a 2-hour movie, and they cut it down to just an hour and 15 minutes.
I don't think I could have handled...
No.
It was like 90s New York hardcore come to life, man.
It was a hybrid movie, and
for sure.
It's just weird how they cut it down like 45 minutes. I don't get it.
All right, Herman, what do you got to say about this film? I know that you couldn't finish it either time wise, but
you should finish it. I'd recommend it.
Yeah.
So I left it as a cliffhanger. I got an hour through it, but I got to tell you,
it starts from minute one. It really does.
It sure does, and I have to say the fact that we're sitting here in a world where we are losing our First Amendment rights.
We're losing a lot of rights, but yeah.
To to ideals that we can't hurt anybody's feelings. It really brought a little bit of that to the forefront. I mean, I know we're talking about protesting a war, which we should probably be doing because we're fighting these two fucking useless sandy wars, and we were protesting people's religious beliefs not being allowed to speak and not being allowed to say, hey, this fucking war is stupid. But also we were protesting the ability to simply speak. And that, to me, is the crux of what is America.
Yep.
And I'm reminded of Benjamin Franklin, who said...
Good guy.
Who said, those who are willing to give up essential liberty for a little security deserve neither liberty nor security. And that's really all I could think of the entire time I watched this movie. was you are giving up your essential liberty for safety. You deserve nothing. You stole fizzy lifting drinks.
Well, and that's the thing.
You lose!
All these people who were on trial were literally dissenters. And they were the ones who were fighting for the liberties that were being taken.
Do you
want to
know something crazy, too, Herman? A lot of these people weren't name actors. These actors and actresses. These were like no-name people that they just paid. And they're just so into politics that they wanted to do this. And like
that's some of it, a lot of this was also improv too. There was
very
maybe
long takes.
One third scripted, and then the rest of it was improv.
This was my dad's generation, and this is the
fuck
shit
yeah.
he was
the
doing.
The art generation,
yeah.
Hybriding.
This is what he was fighting against, and he voted for George Bush twice and Trump once.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
All right, so I would give it a probably a 9 out of 37 trillion. Blop blops.
You didn't care for it?
Oh, a 9.
Oh, 9. Oh.
9 out of 10, dude. I give it a blop blop.
I was going to say 9 out of 37 million is a pretty low score.
It is. It's actually.
But the second part of it is an arbitrary concept.
It's like below
shit.
To be fair, you
it's
made
like
it sound statistically insignificant.
Way below shit.
Exactly. So I'd give it a 9 out of 10
I'd
if we're going on a 10
scale. I
give it a
P rating of 0.003.
0.003 out of 10?
So, no, John. I mean.
And real quick, just because I didn't see this movie. I'm just going to say how much I hated The Last Jedi.
Are you serious? Are you fucking
that's
serious?
So, that's
are
my
tribe.
I give it a minus a billion out of 90 quatrillion.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
I disagree with both
good,
of you.
In fact, your rating just did the Kessel Run in less than 3 parts.
Did you guys see that in IMAX?
I could see it in any form, and it was the worst piece of garbage ever.
I would have
that's
to,
it.
I would have to rightfully disagree with you.
That's
all right, good,
okay.
good.
He has
good.
Seen
Let's
better
move on.
Teeth.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's move on.
Absolutely.
God. Jesus Christ. 9 out of 10, everybody. That's what I'm going to give it.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
Except like for
oh,
except
an
for
actual number.
Jedi.
Oh, good.
9 out of 10.
Four words.
Bajillion bajippajoppers. I'm just fucking.
Don't. Give up freedoms. Four words, honestly.
Yeah.
Rachel, what do you get at?
I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 because I kept falling asleep.
And it drove you nuts.
It drove me nuts. I was saying, there was a lot of talking over people. There's too much noise. Nice. I can't think of four words. I don't really know. Just don't fall asleep. That's my advice.
Don't fall asleep.
Just
don't
fall asleep.
It's like Nightmare on Elm Street 1.
Yeah.
Forrest,
I'd say
scale.
Fall. Sorry, what?
Grade and then four words.
I'd give it a 10 out of 10. I'd say follow the fucking Constitution.
Follow the fucking Constitution. Yeah, good. Mm. Herman, what do you got?
Yeah, follow the Constitution is fantastic. I don't have anything better than that. I would definitely give it a 9 out of 10. It was brilliant. It was filmed with the heart. And I would say Sandy Shotgun Blast.
Sandy Shotgun
The weird
blast.
Thing is, I want to point out is they all had guns. Their guns weren't used, but in the trailer they make it seem like they did.
Well, their guns were used.
They were firing. When that guy was like, this is a 12 gauge shotgun, and shot it. It's a 20 gauge. I could tell by the spread. But I mean, that's just me. I'm a redneck from Northern Connecticut. So do you want from me?
He was just some fucking actor trying to be like cocky and trying to make a big deal out of something.
He was. It was 20 gauge.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, that was the Darker Side movie review of Punishment Park.
Hell yeah. My favorite movie. One of my favorite movies, sorry.
It was great. It really was. I think you should watch it. It's free on archive.org, which is fantastic.
Just Google it.
Also, if you like archive.org, there's some really good Grateful Dead recordings and recordings of Big Brother and the Holding Company from the Fillmore.
No way.
From the 1960s. Fantastic. Janis Joplin just being fucking Janis Joplin.
Nice.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Forrest, for sending me in that direction, by the way. That's a great website. Fuck me in the ass. That's fantastic.
When I saw it in college, it was on YouTube. And that's how we watched it. So the fact that they took that off YouTube, I had to fucking dig into it and search for it. I was so pissed.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, we're going to dive deeper into the darker side. Nazi Bell Edition. Herman has done some research for us. And if you don't know what the Nazi Bell is, he's going to tell us.
So you all believe that UFOs are extraterrestrial vehicles from space, right?
Fuck yeah.
Of course. Or, yeah.
Depends.
Yeah.
It depends.
We saw one here,
like the
though.
Diapers? It depends.
Yes, exactly.
Depends.
They do not hold a full 20-year-old male bladder full of Budweiser.
Yeah, what I think about, I think you consumed, each one of you consumed, like at least 12 to 15 Budweisers at that point.
I lost the Budweiser diaper challenge. I'm happy to say it.
Budweiser diaper challenge.
Oh, those were the days.
In our defense, we were hammered.
Yes.
Right.
And what else was going on?
Yeah.
So,
whatever else, you know, it's all a blur, right?
So, what if I told you that UFOs are not from another planet, but were in fact created in secret by the Nazis during World War II?
Well, that's something to talk about.
Bum, 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 bum. Bow, bow, bow,
bow. So during World War II, Nazis were working on
perfect. That was the greatest. That was, oh, it's like I was captivated by your captivation.
What?
Fuck yeah!
Sorry, Herbert, go ahead, bro. Sorry.
He's actually running around with his underpants on his head right now.
Yeah. So, depends.
It depends. It
depends. Oh,
they're all squishy. Oh.
So during World War II, Nazis were working on free energy, vertical takeoff, disc-shaped flying object.
Did you just say free energy?
Free energy.
Yeah, who wouldn't want a limitless amount of energy?
Frenergy.
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 The Nazis were working on frenergy, vertical takeoff, disc-shaped flying
vertical
objects.
Vertical takeoff.
Yeah, that's not that funny, though.
I'm sorry.
It goes like this.
I find it. I'm sorry. I just find it funny.
Down up.
That's what she said?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I just went from 6 to midnight. Michael I don't Scott. Know about you guys. Oh, vertical takeoff makes me hot. So, disc-shaped flying objects and propulsion.
Man.
No,
go. I'm sorry. Sorry. It's way, way too much entendre.
It's too esoteric.
Yes.
Let's think about the V2 rocket for a hot second. While we fought with propeller planes, the Nazis may have developed a UFO. You heard of the Foo Fighters, right?
Heck yeah. Yeah.
I'll let you talk.
Firefighters.
You said Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Yeah, Everlong, right?
Like Dave.
No, the you know what the fighter pilots saw in the sky during the wars.
Flight 19.
During the Great Wars.
You guys ever heard a little thing called?
I'm sorry. I just
Roswell.
Yeah.
Roswell.
1947 Roswell happened. That was 2 years after World War II. UFOs may in fact be secret U.S. aircrafts developed by the Nazis. I did not see that coming, did you?
I didn't see it coming either.
I think it's probable. I put more money on it being
that was the dumbest
man-made
part of the
than alien-made.
So good.
Alien-made there. Sorry, go.
You did not see it coming?
Not see it coming.
You guys, you missed his.
When you guys are done talking, I'm going to continue.
I'm sorry you missed yours, Herman. I didn't catch it.
Go, Herman, go.
I like it when I Auschwitz somebody.
That is horrible.
Padinta.
All right, so during the war, Hitler ordered his scientists to build, quote, war-winning weapons.
Or he wouldn't say war-losing weapons, would he?
or I want to really lose this shit out of this.
I have your cardboard tank right over here.
Perfect. That's the next level thinking that I've been dreaming of.
Cardboard tank.
Can we electrify it somehow so it's really hard to drive?
Yes.
Wait, what the fuck?
It's got square wheels.
Is this confirmed by NASA or is this confirmed by the Army?
No,
nothing.
The downgraded nothing. NASA. It's NASA.
It's ASAN, actually. Yeah. They did it backwards because they didn't have
Well,
a
I'm sure you guys
idea.
Know why I named those two, but...
Moving on.
Right on. So during the war, Hitler ordered his science to build war-winning weapons or Wunderwaffe. Or
Wunderwaffe?
Wunderwaffe.
What?
I love it when you speak German.
Yeah.
It's hot, right?
It's pretty sexy.
I like to say, tell everybody you love them, but tell them in German. Ich liebe dich!
Hell yeah.
What was that, but less, what was it?
Ich liebe dich! I scream it at my wife every morning. Nice. She loves it. She's like, oh, you're so romantic and scary.
I'm steaming over here.
Yeah, no.
I definitely need to change my shorts.
I can feel
oh
the heat.
Oh my God.
I can really feel the heat coming on.
Yeah, no.
So,
some heat?
All right, back to the action. When we last left our hero, Hitler, he had ordered his scientists to build...
Wait, are you reading something that's not credible right now? I'm sorry.
No, that's John's freeballing it, as they like to call it. He's just going with the wind.
Last time, Hitler in space.
cracking the balls out.
Nazis in space.
Cracking the hairy balls out, eh?
Oh, guys.
Danger, Will Robinson. All right, so... During the war, Hitler ordered his scientists to build some war-winning weapons known as Wunderwaffe, or wonder weapons. And build them they did. Many advancements were developed underground in vast complexes dug by slave labor. In charge of all of this was Dr. Hans Kemmler, whose curriculum vitae included overseeing Office D, or the administration of the concentration camp system. He was the chief of Office C, which designed and constructed all of the concentration and extermination camps, and he oversaw the installation of more efficient cremation facilities at Auschwitz as part of the camp's conversion to an extermination camp.
Sounds like a real, real good guy.
He was really devoted to his work, actually. That's actually what a lot of people said during the Nuremberg trials.
He was a hard worker.
He was a hard worker. That's it, though.
And that's the American way. Hard work and perseverance.
Yes.
Sounds like Kim Jong-un.
So what advancements did the Auschwitz oven designer oversee? Here's a few. With Hans van Oheim, he built the jet engine. With the Horton brothers, they built flying wings. Alexander Lipschitz worked on vertical...
You said Lipschitz.
Lipschitz?
Sounds fun.
What?
Pop, Six, Cicero, Lipschitz.
Oh my God.
He worked on vertical takeoff, which was necessary because...
And the clapper.
Oh, clap yeah. On. That was such a trend in like movies from like 25 years ago.
Oh, close to 30.
Hitler had no time to open a door. He was like... and the thing would open up for
right.
Him.
Only they called it... Die Clapper.
Die Clapper. Die Clapper. I like that.
Das Klapperheimer! Ich bin das Hagen Clapper. Yeah, so anyway, under Alexander Lipschitz, he worked on vertical takeoff, which was necessary because the Allies kept bombing the various airfields. Incidentally, you need 800 feet to take a plane off, and it's really hard to do when there's a bunch of American holes in the ground.
Probably.
Yeah, god dang Americans.
And then there was Wernher von Braun, who built the fucking ballistic missile.
Yep.
Yep.
Boom. Operation Paperclip, friends.
Ooh,
so,
yeah.
Yep.
Making connections, aren't we, John?
Yeah,
Herman.
Connected the dots.
There's so many dots.
I gotta run out and get a Catcher in the Rye right now. Buy a couple of copies of that book.
Oh, you just grab one off
Fuck
my shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have 5 copies of The Art of War. So the Nazis also studied circular vehicular takeoff. And
is that like Gravitron style, like circle and then lift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it a spinning thing, just fly into the sky. They also built and operated, in battle, a rocket-propelled plane, the Messerschmitt ME-163. This is the first and only rocket-propelled fighter.
Nice.
Interesting.
So we're flying these B-52 Flying Fortresses, and they're just propellers, lots of diesel fuel. The Nazis scream along with a rocket-propelled ship. I don't think it was super effective, but damn, that would scare the shit out of people.
Yeah.
So in their search for alternative propulsion, anti-gravity, and free sources of power, the Nazis developed Die Glocke.
Die Glocke.
Sounds sexy.
It is. it means the bell, and it was said to be designed in the Skoda factory in Pilsen, Czechoslovakia.
Did you say scrotum factory?
I did.
Scrotum?
God.
Scrotum. Wow.
Float him. Shit, hit him in the scrotum.
No,
he didn't even know him.
It was scotum.
Skoda.
Oh, now
Skota.
We're
Skota. Yeah, Skota.
Now we're officially getting phallical.
Couple straight guys going the phallical.
The phallus with the chalice is the vessel that's the poison.
Kindness.
So, happiness.
Skoda.
So there's a couple of cars. The Skoda Yeti. It was a car factory.
Car factory.
All right. This is going well. So from the Bibliotheca Pleiades, The Reich of the Black Sun, Chapter 17.
That's a band name.
Yeah.
Hell
fuck
yeah.
You have to make it illegible.
Fuck yeah.
The chapter is called The Kecksburg Acorn Rings a Bell.
Yeah.
And that might ring a bell if you listen to the last episode.
Yeah, Kecksburg.
So, back to the Nazi bell. Quote, the bell was reportedly a metallic object approximately 9 feet in diameter and 12 to 15 feet tall. It looked like a bell, hence its code name in German, Die Glocke.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really stretch it out too hard, did they?
They didn't need to. I mean,
you guys cool with the bell? Yeah, I'm good with the bell. All right.
Yeah.
Great.
They're practical people when it comes to naming things.
Yeah. Fuck it. Smoke if you got them.
Yeah.
Well, end quote anyway. So the Nazi bell had distinctive markings on it. You see, the Nazis were into a sort of religious science, the blending of the occult with new, bold fields of study. Because of this, the bell was covered in occult symbols. Back to the Reich of the Black Sun, and I quote. It was comprised of two counter-rotating cylinders, rotating a purplish liquid, metallic-looking substance codenamed Serum 525 by the Germans.
Nice.
That translates to Serum 525, right?
Serum 525. Think of that duck from the Disney cartoons, like with the lifting of the weights and like, yes, I'm lifting the weights and Serum 525. That guy, fucking fantastic. My favorite Disney character. So it spun around at high speeds. Serum 525 was apparently highly radioactive, being purple in color and housed in cylinders with lead lining 3 centimeters thick. The bell apparently required high amounts of electrical power in its operation. During its use, it could only be run for approximately 1 to 2 minutes, as apparently it gave off strong radiation. Wow. Strong radio. It's true.
Radiation.
As it apparently gave off strong radiation and other electromagnetic or unknown field effects. Several scientists died on its first operation. Subsequent
tests. That's how you know it works.
Yeah.
Right.
Or doesn't.
We lost like 3 people on this. This shit is
last time we lost like 17.
Fucking good. Yeah.
Check out the development of Whiteout. 400 people died just so you could white out a piece of
Whiteout was invented by an office clerk who got sick of having to, you know, tape everything. Or it was invented by an office clerk.
Same girl that invented Post-its.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True story. Look it up.
I'm back.
Good to see you.
Good save.
So several scientists died on its first operation. Subsequent tests included various...
Died
on its first operation.
As in, they aren't alive anymore.
They ceased to be.
Wow.
They are ex-scientists.
Oh, I'm just more I'm more surprised at the moment for a second.
We went into Monty Python.
Yes.
No,
I love Monty Python.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
It was not a dig on you. It was just a chance to.
They were ex-scientists.
I really appreciate it.
That's good.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Appreciate you.
Everything's
guys.
Appreciated.
So several scientists died on its first operation. Subsequent tests included various plants and animals, all of which decomposed into a blackish goo. And with
What?
Blackish goo?
Wow.
I'm still quoting, by the way.
No. Keep
did
quoting.
The pile of goo have like the scientist glasses? Like
it turned into a little green globule.
Little pocket protector.
Yeah, it's sort of a bizarre gardening accident. Yeah.
I think I figured out the whole series of Alien now. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I hope you treat this with the seriousness that it requires. So I'm gonna go back just a step. Subsequent tests included various plants and animals, all of which decomposed into a blackish goo and without normal putrefaction.
So it went straight from like yellow banana to like, ugh, I'm not touching that banana. Please, somebody else touch that banana.
To liquid banana.
Yes. Oh my God.
Stick a banana in the freezer and that was a Nazi scientist.
What?
That's perfect.
What?
Yeah.
That's perfect. Within a matter of a few minutes or hours after exposure to its field effects, when in operation. So in other words, you fired this fucking thing up, you turn into a banana that got shoved in the freezer.
Are you sure some of these bananas weren't dicks? Like human dicks?
Well, they were the
whole...
That
sort of the theme of this episode, isn't it?
At the moment, I guess, yeah.
So technicians during, and I'm still quoting, technicians during near the bell during these experiments reported metallic tastes in their mouths after being exposed to it.
Interesting.
Right before turning into goo.
into
You guys taste something weird?
What?
Oh my God, Johnny just turned into goo.
Holy shit, he turned into a fucking frozen banana. I don't understand.
Hey, Phil, you look like a giant pile of shit.
You need some fucking sun, kid.
I don't know why they turned into, like, Italian New Yorkers at that moment, but it'd be great. It was World War II. Italy was right next door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a spicy meatball. It filled with radiation. All right, so the chamber in which the bell was tested was lined with ceramic bricks and rubber mats and had to have its rubber matting removed and burned after each test. And it was subsequently washed down with brine by inmates from nearby concentration camps.
That structure is still standing, isn't it?
End quote. We'll get to the structure. Absolutely. Okay. They're still testing the thing underground. They haven't tested it above ground yet. They're just turning concentration camp victims into goo, to be quite frank with you.
Wow.
These experiments were based out of a compound called Dyrrhesi, or the Giant, a construction project of Nazi Germany in 1943 to 1945, consisting of seven underground structures located in Owl Mountains in...
Yeah, go for it.
The Owl Mountains and Kasza's Castle in Lower Silesia, Poland. Diglocko was tested in the Wenceslas mine. Good King Wenceslas looked down on the feast of Stephen.
You just can't say it unless it's not
I can't.
Sing.
I can only sing it. Yeah, I can only song. Sing it like high school chorus. That's fine. Tested in the Wenceslas mine.
He did the old arm thing when he sang that, by the way. For all those listeners
you
at home.
I am German. I'm apologetically German. I'm from Worcester.
Self-hating German.
They then had outdoor tests in a structure called the Henge.
Ah, yes.
The structure. Yes.
The structure that Rachel pointed out is still standing to this day. It's concrete structure. It stands in a pool of water covered in ceramic tiles. Diglocko was operated there, secured to the ground using heavy chains.
Versus non-heavy chains?
It's very... Very flimsy chains, yes.
Hey, guys, those are just not heavy enough. Can we give it a little bit more heavy?
It's kind of like, whatever you got. It's kind of like new metal chains versus like power metal chains. Like, it was said that when activated, Diglocka had an effective area extending out 150 to 200 meters, which is 490 to 660 feet for you Americans. Within this zone, crystals would form in animal tissue, blood would gel and separate, while plants would decompose into grease.
Pump of fluid.
Black goo
inside
again.
Your brain.
So it sounds a lot like a different boxed object that was taught about in some movies in the 80s.
The microwave? I mean, it'll fuck you up.
Or the, you know, the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh.
Did it a does, very similar it thing to you.
Yes. Yes. It does.
That is a side effect.
Wow. Yes. That's what I mean, they could have very well gotten the Ark, and they could have harnessed its power.
They may have.
Interesting.
Shut your eyes, Mario.
My God.
So my question is, how do you think they figured out that within this zone, crystals would form in animal tissue and blood would gel, et cetera, et cetera?
How?
Okay.
How, Jones?
It's just,
how? Is it German Jews?
Fucking gross, man.
Is it Polish Jews?
It may have been. They might have had...
Polish Jews?
They might have had little triangles, et cetera.
I happen to be Polish and Jewish and Russian.
Good for you, man.
You are everything. You're like if I ordered a house pizza and I'm like, oh my god, they put meatballs on this too. Like, I'm so shocked. That's you.
or the sausage pieces they give you are like massive and you're expecting like little tiny things.
Boom! I like that. Homeboy's packing. All right. So anyway, as Rachel had pointed out, the concrete henge still stands to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 1945, as the war began to close, Hitler orders the death of 62 scientists, all of which were working on the Bell Project.
Interesting.
Also condemned to death were any labor camp prisoners that worked on the Bell, or anything having to do with it. Because dead men tell no tales. With this deed dutifully accomplished, Kammler, who had overseen the creation and operation of the Bell, left his base in Pilsen and fucking evaporated. Homeboy was gone.
Or turned into goo.
He might have turned into that.
Or just, you know.
That yummy black goo.
A little green globule right on the seat. So, seriously, he evaporated. There are six different accounts of his death. Six. Yeah. Which means he's probably still alive, like Paul McCartney.
Yeah, because he was dead on that album that you played backwards.
Paul is dead.
Yeah. That was actually really technologically sweet, and you could actually do that. But anyway, so Michael it was said that Hans Kammler turned sides. It was said that he remarked to a trusted SS officer, the Minister of Armaments and War, Albert Speer. You can look him up in the Nuremberg Trials.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
It was said that
sure, that's a fun read.
Oh.
So fun.
Sit down.
It's like late bedtime.
A little wine. Oh, yeah. And listen to the Nuremberg.
Classical music. It's fine. Just read the Nuremberg
Some Wagner
trials.
With
yeah.
some with the Nuremberg Trials. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Some Wagner and some Liebfrau Milch.
Yeah, I'm going to punch myself in the nuts for fun.
Yes.
But then, no.
45 minutes or so.
That'd be horrible.
Yes, it would, Forrest.
Don't knock it till you try it.
It's true. It's true. Sometimes we like to punch the nuts.
Mm-hmm. My life's dark enough. I don't know if I would do that.
Your life will seem way better if you punch yourself in the nuts. You'll be like, oh my God, every time I'm not punching myself in the nuts, life is
so much
awesome.
Better.
Exactly.
Yeah,
great.
Exactly.
Just like they do in
the
movie commercials.
I can walk normally. Yeah. I'm not sweating. So anyway, Albert Speer had noted that Kamler had planned on taking his secrets to the USA in order to grant himself immunity, quite frankly.
Give everyone this device that turns people into goo.
Yeah. Yummy black goo.
Unless he perfected it somehow.
So can we just say Operation Paperclip again?
Yes.
That brought Fuck us yeah. the American patriot, Wernher von Braun.
Get out all the thumbtacks, man. Get them all out.
So one story is that the Glocke vanished at the end of the war and was never seen again. Another takes place 20 years later in a little town in Pennsylvania. On December 9th, 1965 at 4:30, a UFO crashed outside of Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. This UFO was known as the Acorn.
Yep.
And for more detail, I would highly recommend that you listen to episode 14 of this particular
yes, please.
Podcast.
Yeah, episode which 14. Was the episode before this.
Yeah.
So it right makes before. Sense.
Yeah. We talked about the Kecksburg UFO.
Last time on Hitler in Space. Yes.
Space.
Oh, my God. You know what's funny? I grew up for, like, I don't even know how long. I was in South Jersey, but I was probably about 2 hours from that place.
You didn't even know about it.
Didn't even know about yeah. it.
There was just a bunch of cows in a field at that point. So we did.
Still what it is.
We did talk about the fact that the Kecksburg UFO crashed, and it was brought to a military base in Ohio, the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, about 250 miles away. And in his documentary, Nazi UFO Conspiracy from 2008, my favorite UFO researcher Stan Gordon noted that 2 days after the Kecksburg incident, the base requested ceramic bricks, 6,500 to be
wow.
exact.
What?
Interesting. I mean, with that you know, correlation between the two.
Yeah, yeah. Ceramic we had some ceramic action in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
So Gordon noted that they were special bricks. They were double glazed engineer brick, and that the order was sent to Patterson Air Force, or Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, right there in Ohio,
yeah.
250 miles from Kecksburg.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
And may I just point out that ceramic is often used for electric and heat insulation.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
And keeps you from turning into black goo.
It yes. does probably keep you from turning into black goo.
Black goo.
So these bricks were delivered by a truck driver known as Myron. And that is literally...
Myron?
Myron.
Myron.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the Madonna, Cher, Prince, or Sting of delivery truck drivers. Yeah, absolutely.
Puts on some Cher.
Yeah, if you Google Myron the truck driver, this pops up. I've done it. It's fantastic. Anyway, he was dropping off the bricks, and he saw the object, the Kecksburg UFO, to be precise, surrounded by soldiers working on it. He described it as a, quote, bell-shaped object. He said that he asked what they were doing with the brick. In other words, where the fuck do you want these bricks?
Right.
And they... This is from him, presumably the military. They said they were going to, quote, enclose it.
Oh, the military said this.
Yeah. Myron quotes, they was going to entomb it.
they was going to entomb it. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's what they said to me. That, you know, I just said, you know what? Where do I drop them? I need to get the hell out of here, you know, to help me God.
Oh, fucking A. It's always the army, man, or the government, or some fucking
shit. Yeah,
what
would you
the
say?
Government
they work for them?
They work for them.
They do work for them.
They are always trying to keep us down. Mm-hmm. So my question is this the Nazi bell? Bell, acorn? We got a lot of correlations there. The Kecksburg craft was supposedly encased in ceramic bricks, as was Die Glocke. Die Glocke and the Kecksburg both had symbols inlaid in the metal on the bottom part.
Yeah.
Fucking A, man.
I leave it to you. One last thing. Some say Die Glocke could travel through time.
Interesting.
That's a little far-fetched for my taste.
That's a little, yeah.
That is. Wait, did they say that was a myth, or did they say that actually happened? Dude, we grew
up with, you know, Doc Smith. Hey, and, everyone and Marty knows, McFly.
Yeah, you gotta go 88 point.
What if this thing could rotate?
Marty! In order to Marty, look!
Nazi scientist, please.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. There are some correlations, but why would there be.
A life preserver, anyway.
Yeah.
Hey kid, if you want a Pepsi, you gotta pay for it.
Wait, was that a myth, or was that actually like said as fact?
No. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Both? Speculative fact.
As long as there are no further questions.
Like the end of that movie, that Christopher Nolan movie, you know,
Bride of Frankenstein.
I don't remember. Oh, fuck. What
Legally Blonde.
Inception. The end of Inception. It's pretty much what that is.
I've never saw that.
Oh, you've never seen it.
But I think they could very well be the same object, maybe. Nice. Who knows? Mm. And if it could travel through time, it would make sense. There was a discrepancy in time.
It makes more. That's also like, does time actually exist though? Because now you're getting into a whole
right,
other
of course.
Set of things.
We're so all living in a fucking real hologram.
Does time exist, or did we just create it for our own uses?
Could be real. Who the fuck knows, right? Man?
What's that?
Who could be real? Who the fuck knows?
Well, that's the entire point, though.
Yeah.
Wow, dude. Nazi Bell.
Yep.
Honestly, I mean, if there's way more information out there, obviously, and you've got links for these people if they want to dive even deeper into this.
Oh, subject. if you want to lose your fucking mind and make it so that your wife will no longer
Fuck
talk
yeah.
to you when you're drinking beer, I highly recommend you read all the links and then go talk to your family at a barbecue.
Is there a YouTube video we can share on the page once we publish?
There are many.
There are many documents.
This I filled this with YouTube.
Just type
videos.
In Nazi Bell. Just type in Nazi Bell.
Tell me which one you want me to feature. Just one, and I will feature that.
He sent you his links already.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I sent you.
That's right.
Everything.
Sent all of them.
Yep.
Yeah, about 5:30 this morning, I sent you everything.
I will get to that.
My brain is
them.
Fucked from reading about this shit. This is garbage. The Nazi Bell and the Keksberg UFO.
Just want to point out the fact that you're sending stuff about UFOs to people at 5:30 in the morning. Like,
to an email called darkerside@gmail.com.
Just hit that
yeah.
level. Like, that's awesome.
I was actually yelling at kids to get off my lawn
yes,
the other day.
Yeah, exactly. And then drinking my own urine.
Seriously,
that's really
40
what
years old.
Here, right?
Kids
40 years old.
Yeah. Texting Shit, while driving. I'm, fucking amen.
I do drink my own urine. It really cleans out the kids.
All right, guys. Well, that was diving deeper into the dark side. Herman, thank you so much for dropping the Nazi bell and connecting it to last week's Keksberg incident.
It's all the UFOs were the Nazis. All of them.
Fuck yeah.
There's no aliens. It's all Nazi, anti-gravity,
well,
free
Herman,
energy.
Herman.
And they won't let you get the free energy because they want you to buy a fucking Tesla. So it plugs in at the mall and you look like you're fucking cool. And you get all the bitches because you got $70,000 to
Which
buy an electric car.
Really funny because Tesla wanted us to have free energy.
Because he was a Nazi.
Figure that out.
Oh, get out of town, dude. All right, guys. Well that was The Darker Side, episode 15. I am David Pottle, and you can find me at David Pottle Facebook, in my band Frenemy on Facebook. Rachel, what do you got?
I'm Rachel Pottle. Thanks again for another great episode, guys. You can find me on Facebook as well as Snapchat, DRP49532.
First, before I start, I would like to thank John for being here as a
yeah, Johnny
know,
Williams.
Special guest.
Oh,
fucking killing
you.
It, dude.
Too
many Johns.
No, you.
No, that's Herman.
Yeah. That's Herman.
That's yes. Herman.
I've rebranded myself.
And I'd like to thank you both. I'd love to thank you for being here. You're awesome. I want to say, you know, you can find our page on Darker Side page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on technically SoundCloud.
All the internets.
Yep. You can find us on
the
Podbean.
Many.
We have claws
Facebook.
Of sound.
And if you guys have, please, if you guys have requests for creepypasta, you write your own or whatever, or if you have any stories you want us to cover or a song you have that
yep.
you're singing at the moment, please send us a message on Facebook. You can email us at thedarkersidepodcast@gmail.com with a C. Don't forget the C instead of a, you know, K.
Yep.
In the darker. And, yeah, please hit us up. Things are going awesome. I love you all. Thank you, Darker Siders. And, John.
Yeah.
I mean, you're
I've
here.
I've had a lot of fun. Last Jedi still sucks. And,
fuck you.
That's that. Sure. Yeah.
Where can people find you?
They can't find me.
Well, that's good then.
Where do you work?
I work nowhere.
You're off the grid.
I am everywhere.
You're
I
everywhere,
am.
But you're
I
off
have
the grid.
No name.
So you're Banksy, pretty much.
Yes, I live in a van.
You're Banksy.
Down by the river. Yeah.
Thank you, Banksy.
That's living in a van, down by the river. Porn.
I mean Banksy in the nicest way, because I love that movie.
Herman, what do we got for deets and stuff?
All right, so the one place you can find me is that's Herman Brau. That's HERRMANNBRAU. It's a German word for brew and not beer. I've been corrected. At the Instagrams, please, for the love of God, send me a picture of something inane. Fire hydrants, the poop you took. I really like a nice coiler just rolling around that bowl. Just
motorcycles in front of stuff.
Now we can share everything.
Now we can share everything.
I'll send you a picture of my hairy feet.
I love that. Hairy feet, the old hairy beanbag. I'm good with all of it. But send it to Instagram. Love to see it. Comment, write. Send me some love, kids. I love you so much. Yeah.
I love you so much. It's disturbing. I just can't stop thinking about you.
The Darker Side Podcast.
The Darker Side Podcast.
The Darker Side Podcast?
The Last Jedi sucked.
Hey, guys. This is Forrest with the Darker Side Podcast. I just thought, because it is Pride Month, to surprise you guys with just a quick little clip as an outro. Instead of our normal creepy alienscape, I'm going to include a little bit of a nice pride ending, prideful ending. All right, thanks guys, love you all.
Every day just feels like a war, and I walk around so mad at the world, but I'm really just fighting with myself. I don't want to fight anymore. I'm just too tired. Like a small boat, I have to just be me. On the ocean,
sending big waves. I'm gay.
I'm gay, and Austin is too.
But I am gay.
I'm gay. I'm gay.
Why was it necessary for you to come out, tell the public? Why was it necessary for the character to do so?
Because it's okay. Because it is okay.